Chapter 23. Samael has come deep within the heart of Wonderland. He is drawn here. Since his last visit, the empty necrotic pipes have become active, pulsing with life, filling the veins of the city with the first's essence. This was to be the Uncivil's dream. A shell capable of sustaining her growth and allowing her to travel the world as she wished. Power and freedom, a complete package. Though the Uncivil has been destroyed, her dream lives on, in Samael and Nir and the bones of the city, the three of them coming together to restore it, making a shell fit for the greatest infernals. Now there is no doubt that Wonderland lives again. The sense of the first, rejoined, whole, is intoxicating. With his half-breed eyes, Samael can read the flow of essence in the city. A swirl in one pipe tells him that Crucible's armies continue to be transported onto the palace, a bunching of cloud in another indicating pain and fear. He moves quickly down corridors, finding Nir hard at work.
"Managed to pierce the shell," she says, without turning from the scorched wall. "I cut off the flow of essence before their blasted fire could get here, but we've lost another limb."
"Can you repair it?"
"Of course I can," she replies. "Give me a few months and the raw materials, and I'll have Wonderland good as new."
"I see."
"Those winged bastards are breaking through. You have to stop them."
"I can't stand against the Seven."
"Problem is, Wonderland can't either. Against one of them, maybe. But three..."
She shakes her head.
"It's hopeless. But if you wade in, distracted a couple of them, maybe then we'd have a chance."
He nods, not needing her to guide him to where Epsilon, Theta, and Eta are. He can feel their song even from here.
"What defenders do we have?"
Nir tuts.
"We have apprentice necroniers and stock. None of them are much use in a fight."
"Give them to me."
"Fine, but don't get them all killed."
Samael ignores the comment and reaches up to pluck a fly from his shoulder plate. It does not resist, allowing itself to be placed on the white skin of his wrist in the space between gauntlet and bracer. He does not feel it bite, but senses the sliver of essence being absorbed, along with his call for help. Samael sends the fly away, unsure if the man-shape will come to their aid, unable to wait for the answer.
"Goodbye,"
he says to Nir, and perhaps it is his imagination, but her answering grunt seems softer than usual.
The vagrant gets up, retrieving Delta's sword as he does so.
One hand is pressed flat on his chest, and a wheeze now accompanies each exhalation. In front of him, Vespa is prone on the ground, the motionless, charred body bearing an uncomfortable resemblance to a corpse. Behind him, Rila whimpers. Compared to the multiple scrapes and scuffs on the vagrant's armor, the single mark on Alpha's chest seems trivial. And yet there is nothing trivial in Alpha's reaction. His voice turns the air into a sphere of liquid fire around him, and where he steps, prints are left behind in part-melted stone. He is stepping towards Vespa, and one does not need to read his essence to be able to guess his intent. The vagrant looks over to where Delta and Beta stand, hoping for support. Beta's dark eyes are unreadable, and Delta does not meet his gaze. Alone, the vagrant moves to intercept Alpha. His limping shuffle isn't enough to put him in the immortal's path, so he swings out, the end of his sword clipping one of Alpha's wings. There is a neat sound, a shing, and two feathers spin their way to the ground. Alpha stops,
The vagrant swallows, raises Delta's sword. Alpha's head turns towards the vagrant, and the hatred that had been raining down on Vesper focuses on him like a force, physical. The attack comes immediately after, a blurry set of strikes. Each time the vagrant parries, there are flames rather than sparks that fly in all directions. Mist begins to rise from his armor, and the gauntlet that holds Delta's sword shimmers, the skin of the metal becoming tacky. The vagrant's song is barely audible and grows rapidly weaker, the notes sounding tortured, the aura around Delta's sword flickering, fading away. Somehow he continues to hold his weapon up. Each of Alpha's strikes knocks his sword arm wide, but it is always back in position before the next lands. He is dying, but in a slow, dogged fashion. And Delta's sword supports him, forcing his arm to move when his muscles give out, watching for him when tired eyes blink against the sweat and heat, taking his sad little notes and making the best of them. Alpha's sword comes down. It comes down, the sheer force of it breaking the vagrant from the inside, shuddering bones, wrenching the heart. Smoke comes from his throat now, and the metal on his gauntlet and right forearm begins to melt. He stands, but Alpha's sword continues to come down. Delta's sword fights almost alone now, puppeting the man as best it can, but it is not without limits. Another strike, the next in an endless blur, comes down, meeting little resistance, striking hard. A crack appears along the blade, turning the note into a screech. Neither Alpha nor the vagrant notice, but when the next attack comes, Delta's sword spins from the vagrant's broken hand, and he falls. Delta's sword clatters next to him, its eye staring upwards, bulging, shocked. The vagrant does not get up. His arm twitches, useless at his side. One knee rises only to flop down again. His head remains at an angle, smoke curling from his open mouth, a faulty exhaust. Alpha turns from him, knowing, wanting him to see what will happen next as he walks over to Vesper. But amber eyes strain elsewhere, seeking out Delta, who remains removed, an observer. His tongue moves over dry lips, and air passes through a red raw throat to whisper a word, given shape by a cracked, bloody mouth.
Please.
In Wonderland, they throw themselves in the path of Epsilon, Theta, and Eta. None of them can hope to win the fight, and so they do all they can to slow them down, making barricades and obstacles, and when they fail, their bodies are used to block the way. Half-breeds and broken-bladed knights fight shoulder to shoulder, soldiers from a dozen locations united under Crucible's banner. It feels strange to Samael to be hanging back. If it were up to him alone, he would be joining the defenders' lines, most likely at the front. Perhaps they will consider him a coward. The thought troubles him, for the truth is that duty makes him wait. Vesper's orders were clear. If she does not survive, he needs to endure, so that the alliance between human and infernal endures. He can see wisdom in this. He is a living bridge between the two, and he has the man-shape's trust and the first's gratitude, as well as a position of sorts within the Empire. It still rankles to not commit. He cannot help but notice that while some of Crucible's forces have diverted here to aid Wonderland, the man-shape has not come. It has sent some of its minions, even a few lesser infernals, but none of the great ones are here, aside from the first itself. Fear has kept them away.
Few things can threaten the man-shape or the backwards child now, but the seven are among them. Perhaps if they had come, allied with him and the first, they would have been able to mount a credible defence. But they have not. And when the three immortals break into Wonderland's heart, they will destroy the first from the inside. For this reason, the people that still live in the city have joined the fight, a mix of children and young adults raised by Nier. None of them have a chance against the seven, but they go anyway, because it is better than doing nothing. Samael respects that. Soon he will be doing the same.
"Please," says Rila, her face tear-streaked, turned to Delta's. "Please, please, please."
The immortal regards the girl, well aware that her brother, Alpha, is moving over to Vesper, intent on revenge. Beta's hand has been on her shoulder for some time now, a calming restraint. She shrugs it off, feeling his dismay as she does so. The hand does not come back, however, nor does he stop her as she leaps forward, gliding across the space between them. She passes Alpha, who ignores her, arrogant as ever, banking past Rila to retrieve her sword. It feels different in her hand.
"It has changed," she thinks. "And I have changed too."
She knows Alpha so well that she feels his movements as much as sees them. The ground whips underneath her as she comes back towards her brother, passing him on the other side as he lifts his sword. Turning sharply, the momentum whirls her round, bringing them face to face. Alpha glares at her, dares her not to approach, and she remembers their last meeting. And she is afraid. Her sword sends a wave of courage up her arm and into her heart. It is natural to be afraid, because she is standing up. At last, she is standing up. Alpha does not notice, turning his attention to Vesper and her death. Her wings beat, driving her ever faster towards him. When Alpha's sword arcs towards Vesper's chest, it finds Delta's in the way. He pulls his strike wide, then points for her to stand aside. She shakes her head. He orders it, and she shakes her head. He threatens her, and she does not deign to respond. Alpha raises his sword, the threat made physical, and a third time she shakes her head. From the sidelines, Beta calls out, a voice of reason, ignored. With a roar, Alpha's sword comes down, striking Delta's. Song meets song, and steel meets steel with explosive force. Cracks recently made yawn wide, and Delta's sword breaks apart in a shower of slivers and essence, silvered. Delta groans, falling to her knees, staring shocked at the ruined edge jutting too short from the hilt. Then she looks up. And Beta looks up. Even Alpha's rage is doused, his eyes going the same way as his siblings. Minutes pass in silence. Then, in the sky, the red sun falters, its light fading as if suddenly covered with a veil. Details are easier to see on the muted orb, a new set of dark lines in one corner, spreading fast. Another minute passes before the cracks meet each other. There is a second flicker, a deeper diminishing, and then the sky lights up and blood washes over the heavens. Under the strain, the red sun breaks, spitting out a chunk of itself to birth a third body, another smaller sun. Samael stands ready with empty hands. A number of tools that the Necroneers use are easily translated into weapons, but he has left them on their hooks. It feels strange not to have a sword. Some of the brightest of Nier's students are with him, guarding the door to the chamber that contains Wonderland's nexus, the one place where every necrotic pipe connects, where the greatest concentration of the First's essence is to be found. It has been a long wait, the minutes stretched by nerves, listening to the sounds of battle getting steadily closer. But for a while now, silence. Samael waits it out, unwilling to be drawn into a trap. Their mission is to delay Epsilon, Theta, and Eta of the Seven, not engage them. Besides, none of the young women and men here are in a hurry to die. As the time stretches on, he cannot shake the idea that something is wrong.
"Stay here."
He rasps at the others and walks towards the last place he heard fighting. It is not far to go. In the dimly lit corridor he sees bodies, some burned inside and out, others in pieces, a thick carpet, uneven. But none of the Seven are to be seen. Samael continues, following the carnage in reverse order. He is forced to climb in places where the fighting was heaviest. Many of the faces are known to him, if only in passing. Half-breed eyes find none among the living. A bleak part of his mind considers that Nier will be pleased. There is a lot of raw material to work with, speeding her efforts to repair Wonderland. Three figures come into view, walking slowly across Wonderland's surface. Their wings are curled close at their backs, and all three heads tilt up. There is nothing on the ceiling of note, and it soon becomes apparent that they are looking through it, not at it. The Seven are hard for him to read, their essence too bright, too harsh on the eye to see details, but he thinks they are worried. Despite the many dead around them, none of the silver figures bear a single injury. Eventually they reach a hole, blasted recently in the roof. One by one they spread their wings and take to the air, leaving Samael to stare after, finally able to see the thing that has drawn them away. For now, Wonderland is safe from the Seven, but when he looks up at the sky, he feels no relief. Through Rila's tears, everything looks blurry. Her mother is lying on the floor, too still. Her grandfather's eyes are closing. The sky is red and angry, and clouds unlike any she has seen are appearing on the horizon, thick and dark and fast, driven by unearthly winds. Delta is on her knees in front of Alpha. Both look up, open-mouthed, at the sky. Beta, nearby, does the same. Meanwhile, three more winged figures come in to land. They too have been looking at the sky, but now their eyes and those in their swords move as one to the sword in her mother's hand, to Delta cradling her shattered blade, and finally to Alpha. The immortal seems to jolt under their stare, jolting a second and third time as Delta and Beta turn their attention to him. Alpha spreads his arms in something approaching a shrug. His look is beseeching, and although she hates him, Rila briefly forgets, wanting to go to the immortal and give comfort. Before she can, however, the others speak, their sentences blending one into the other, circling around the space where Alpha stands.
"First and greatest of us you were but now fallen, the saddest of shadows. Shadows have been made, a third where there were two. Two of our sisters cautioned you. You did not listen."
Gradually, Delta rises to her feet. The others form a circle with her, their wings spreading, enclosing Alpha within.
Our purpose was to protect and preserve. Preserve that which the Creator held dear. Dear to us was Gamma, and we abandoned her when we were needed. Needed to do our duty. Duty that we have forgotten.
Under the weight of their judgment, of his guilt, Alpha sinks to his knees, the others leaning forward, making a dome.
Blindly we followed, followed you to ruin, ruin for our sisters, sisters' sword, sword that is broken like the sun.
Rela can feel their song building, just as the storm builds on the horizon, a roiling darkness that stretches from floor to sky. The sound makes her skin itch. She wants to run away, but does not know where to go. Instead, she squats by the vagrant, the game of copying him forgotten.
"Please wake," she begs. "Please."
The vagrant does not move, and the voices of the immortals grow ever louder.
"You will lead us no longer. No longer will we be muted. Muted voices will rise together. Together we will take your voice. Your voice is ended for the good of all."
Rela holds on to the vagrant's arm, burying her face in his chest, pleading for him to wake as the winds howl and crimson clouds break over Wonderland and the Sky Palace, smothering everything, blotting out the sky.